And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brower Show, bringing you the latest health research and world news. And today I'm joined again by my wonderful wife, Sharon Brower. She'll be with me today and tomorrow, and Austin will be back on Wednesday, and Sharon does a great job for me. She'll be commenting on the stories that we bring to you today. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and so Sharon, I want to welcome you to the show again. Thanks for being on with me.
I love it, Ted.
Sharon made the absolute best Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving was amazing, but Christmas was amazing yesterday. We had some friends over. A couple of the kids were out of town, but we had a blast and a great, great, great time of fellowship and some of the best food I've ever eaten. Of course, that's what Sharon always does. She's incredibly blessed in all the areas of her life, and so I'm just happy to be part of her team. I really am. So thank you, Sharon, again for a wonderful, wonderful meal yesterday.
Thank you, and you're so nice, Ted. It's so funny. I'll make something, and then I'll make it again. And you, first time I make it, you say, "Man, this is the best you've ever made." Then I'll make it again. And you go, "This is the best you've ever made." What'd you do? I said, "Nothing." So you're very appreciative. But the thing is, we ate so healthy, like we always do, and people just have to realize you don't have to eat junk.
Well, no, you just have to watch your serving sizes. So what I do on Thanksgiving and Christmas, when we have these gargantuan meals that last us for a week in the refrigerator, I just basically take a small serving size, eat one plate full of food, maybe get a couple seconds of what I like, and then I really don't eat much for the rest of the day. And then last night I took some special colon cleaner that we have. I know that sounds kind of silly talking about after Christmas, but I want to make sure I got a fiber in. And so this morning I was fine, doing great. I feel good, total energy. The crazy thing is when you eat a lot of food and you get physically bloated from it and you feel badful from it, and that's just no good. And a lot of people do that pretty much every single meal, and they may eat one or two meals a day, but they bloat every time they eat and end up gaining a whole bunch of weight because they take in too many calories that their bodies can't metabolize. So what I always do is when I get too many calories like I had yesterday in just one meal, because I try to keep around 300 to 400 calories a meal, I just don't eat for a few meals and eat like a high protein snack before I go to dinner, before I go to bed. By the way, CNN, the constant negative news, the communist news network, the Clinton's negative news, the Clinton negative news network, whatever you want to call it, ratings have hit an all-time low. People have finally had enough and realized that this is a complete and total propaganda news site. This is from the Newswire. It says the CNN has been so thoroughly exposed by WikiLeaks as a propaganda mouthpiece of the establishment, they've recorded their lowest ratings since the records began for the week ending December the 18th. CNN ranked a lowly number 18 for total viewers per day for ad-supported cable networks. They were beat out by the Cartoon Network, Home and Garden TV, and basically the Cartoon Network is closer to reality than what CNN pumps out. Perhaps most embarrassing, the Food Network has more daily viewers than CNN. How the mighty have fallen. For primetime viewers, CNN did not even rank in the top 25 for primetime. That's in the evening shows. CNN is falling apart, which is nice to see, given they are an establishment-run propaganda channel exposed by their former staff as accepting cash to play what amounted to infomercials for foreign dictators. All these propaganda sites are being found out, like Snopes, whose owner is accused of embezzling money, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on whores, and has now married a whore. His new wife, who now works for Snopes as their administrator, was a high-end escort until last year. She also has an extensive history as a porn star and once ran for office under the anti-Bush slogans. Once upon a time, the press held government's feet to the fire as a rule, not as an occasional minor expose, just so they can hold up something that resembles legitimacy for the year. The rest of the time, it's business as usual, lying, manipulating, and ingratiating themselves with the ruling elite, attempting to protect the establishment from independent, legitimate inquiry, so they can still have access and keep that sweet establishment shill money flowing. Guys, I want to read this first today because, number one, it's really good news because it really shows what's going on with the mainstream media and how they're completely collapsing. People sooner or later get tired of listening to the lies. This was brought together by Edward Bernays in his marketing. He was the father of marketing and advertising. He was born back in the 1800s. He was the cousin of Sigmund Freud. They were both 17 Kabbalists. They were both Luciferians. They both worshipped Lucifer. Now, he brought how to control people's minds through advertising, through copywriting, and then that was brought into the campaign against the United States and against Germany. The United States not wanting to go into World War One, was forced into World War One, and the horrible lying campaign of Germany in World War One, and basically brought the World War One to the United States because of Edward Bernays. In fact, Goebbels, when he looked back, Hitler's propaganda minister, was completely enamored by Bernays and really, really thought he was amazing because of the way he was able to manipulate the population of the United States to go into World War One when the vast majority of the population here wanted nothing to do with it. So it's interesting when you watch an organization like CNN completely collapse internally. Now, the thing that's crazy about this is that CNN at one time was the major news network globally. And what's crazy, when you go to other countries like in Europe, in Germany, the primary American-speaking broadcast that's still being broadcast in those countries is CNN. It's very difficult to find a lot of American-speaking, English-speaking channels when you're in countries like Italy, except for CNN. CNN is broadcast throughout Europe. And also Russia Today is broadcast through most of Europe. So I find it fascinating, Sharon, how the mighty have fallen and how CNN is just a shadow of what it once was, because people have finally started to wake up and realize that it's just lies, more lies, and total lies, constant negative news out of CNN. What do you think?
Well, I'm not surprised, but I was hoping Megyn Kelly would end up over there. I mean, just get her off Fox, and I don't really want to go into how I feel about her. But the thing is, you know, back in the day when Larry King was there, you know, and you knew Larry, I knew Larry, and he was a really nice guy, and his model worked back then. But now that everything is becoming exposed, and we as Christians, I think, have a lot to do with it because of all our prayers, I just think they're going to end up shutting the doors, because it can't go on. People are tired of the phony lies. They're tired of just putting down good. And, I mean, it's time for good to overcome evil. It's time. It's a time that has come. And I'm just hoping this is a foreshadowing of what we're going to see in January and the changes that we're going to see in the government.
I agree with you, Sharon. In fact, I know Larry King. Larry King is a pretty good friend of mine. He asked me to introduce him several times at seminars back in the 90s. This is back when he was in his heyday of CNN. In fact, he used to tell some funny stories when he's on the platform. And we were there the day he proposed to his current wife. I forgot her name, Sharon. Is it Dawn? I don't remember anymore. It's been so long ago.
It'll come to me, yeah.
It'll come to me in a second.
It might have been Dawn. Yeah, it might have been Dawn.
I think it was Dawn. And basically, she was a lot younger than Larry. And then we were there, and it was so funny. They were actually sitting in the ready room with us, and he was laying on the couch with his head in her lap. And he had just gotten back. He had taken the limo over to Tiffany's and picked up this like 5-carat diamond ring for her. And she was so excited because he had just proposed to her, because he'd been married multiple times. And then he went on to believe to have a couple of children too. So Larry took a pretty big chance with all of that. In fact, they asked him one time at a seminar he was speaking, because he thought a lot like a Christian, but he wasn't a Christian. He was Jewish. And I remember he may be a Christian now. I don't know. But I remember somebody asked him one time if he'd ever been born again at a seminar, and his response was no. He goes, I've thought about it a lot, but I've never taken that step. Now, he married a Mormon, so I don't know how that coincides with her beliefs, with him being Jewish. So I don't know what his beliefs are now, but Larry's gotten old, because when we knew him back then, shoot, he's already in his 60s, 20 years ago. He's got to be in his 80s now. And so he's got to be – and his kids have got to be like, you know, in college, if not adults by now. So it's interesting. He was a very, very, very real person. And finally, CNN offered him a big pay raise, and because he was on the seminar circuit so much with us. And he's making, I guess, I don't know, probably – well, I don't know what he's making. If I did, I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell you anyhow. It's not right. But he was making really good money. And so CNN gave him a big pay raise, and then he started showing up and appearing by video screen – from his offices at CNN to be broadcast live at the seminars, which was, you know, kind of a letdown for all the people that wanted to meet and see Larry King. But he's a really, really, really nice guy. Let me give you some more on Snopes here. This is an interesting story, too. It says, Snopes co-founder embezzles $98,000, drops weight, leaves his overweight wife, and marries an actual whore. This is crazy. Isn't it interesting how little money can change a person? According to the divorce paper, Snopes co-founder David Mikkelsen started taking all sorts of trips around the world for visiting prostitutes. After that, sweet liberal shill money started rolling in. while engaging in this debauchery, Mickelson just about wrote off everything, including as business expenses, embezzling a reported $98,000. The Snopes co-founder has since settled down and married a part-time porn actress, former escort worker, actually a sex worker, and she has her own website devoted to being a whore. Apparently, she's pretty good at one, depending on her pastime as a part-time model. The Daily Mail reports, investigation reveals that Snopes co-founders, former husband and wife, David and Barbara Mickelson, are embroiled in a lengthy and bitter legal dispute in the wake of the divorce, and he has since remarried. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this because I wanted to say this. I've had too many people tell me the stuff that we do and what we have said before that comes out to be completely true. They've checked it out on Snopes, and it's not. Snopes says it's not true. I believe at one time Snopes was probably an organization that tried to tell the truth, but when all that liberal money started flowing in, they started immediately changing their tunes, and so many things that we knew were accurate and correct that have later been found out to be accurate and correct, when you checked it on Snopes, said it wasn't true, or it was just basically made up. So it's pretty interesting to watch the truth come out now about Snopes. So I wonder, Sharon, if you do a Snopes search on whether the former co-founder married a prostitute, I wonder if that would show up as true or false. I have no idea. But it's absolutely nuts this kind of stuff happens and that we think it's going to be okay, because, guys, it's not okay. None of this is okay. By the way, Christianity is under further attack in all over the world. Record-breaking numbers prove the assault against Christianity worldwide. Christianity is under attack, and new poll numbers state that Christianity is declining. Meanwhile, other polls show that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world, and I've talked about this over and over again. On a day-to-day basis, mainstream media boasts about the fact that Muslims in the Middle East are under attack. The truth is that the Christians who are under attack in the Middle East. Christians in 52% of the world's countries, or 108 countries, are discriminated against or mistreated in some way. It is estimated between half and two-thirds of the Christian population has disappeared from the Middle East over the past 100 years. I'm going to say that again. Up to two-thirds of the Christians have been eradicated from the Middle East in the past 100 years. There are roughly 2.3 billion Christians worldwide, and approximately 8,000 each year are martyred. I'm going to repeat that. 8,000 Christians are martyred a year. That is equivalent to one person dying in the name of the faith each hour of every day, right now, globally. Government harassment of Christians took place roughly in 79 countries, and social harassment was recorded in 85. The numbers put Christianity at the top of the persecuted list, while Muslims are second. However, do you recall mainstream media talking about the persecution of Christians? No, they never do. In the last few years, propaganda war, a psychological war, an actual war has been waged against Christianity, which is creating a decline in those who identify as Christians. The majority of Americans, or 74%, identify as Christians. Meanwhile, in UK, there were roughly 40 million Christians, and now there are about 36 million Christians. While faith is on the decline, a report in UK has revealed that Muslim worship has skyrocketed by 72%. Roughly 20% or 21% or 1 in 5 don't have formal religious identity. This represents a significant change from the 40s and 50s. In the West, Christianity is on a decline, but in the Middle East, Christianity is under full assault. Guys, I'm not going to read any more of this article. It's a very, very good article. You guys can go pick it up. It's on under the Christian Truther. Here's what's happening again, and we've covered this so many times on the show. The United States was founded as a Christian nation. Now, the Masonic lodges, who really at their core are not Christian. Now, I'm not saying that the lower level Masonic people who are involved in it, who have no idea what's going on at the higher levels, aren't Christian, because I know a lot of Baptists, etc., are involved in the Masonic lodges around the United States, and a lot of them do it for business contacts, but they don't have any idea what the true meaning of the Masonic lodges really is. They don't get that. They don't understand how Albert Pike talked about it. He was a 33-degree Mason, if not higher, and he talked about the seething energies of Lucifer in his book, Morals and Dogma. So, guys, it's a real problem when the Masonic lodges get involved and actually help to formulate the country's government and politics in the beginning, including laying out the Washington, D.C. as a pentagram. But here's the other thing. You've got Satan's group that's also out there with the Rothschild banking cartel, which is not part of that organization, buying for power. So we have these two extremist groups. Both of them are under the dark guise of Lucifer at the very top of the levels, the top levels where you go. And that's just the way the reality is on this. But what is interesting about all of this is that we as Christians have to understand that the reason that we're being persecuted the way we are is because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't want us waking up and realizing the power and the authority that we have in prayer. They don't want us to know who and what we are in Christ Jesus. They don't want us to know that we can literally change the fabric of space-time by the prayers that we speak and the words that we speak and the thoughts that we think. They don't want us to know that. So rather than trying to pretend like we're not going to learn about that with the internet, they just rather go ahead and persecute Christians and try to get a declining Christian population. And now also we have another problem with that too. There are a lot of Christians out there who are marginal Christians. Now, I'm not picking on you if you're a marginal Christian. I'm just stating a fact. I mean, you can't go out and get drunk and pretend like you're a Christian on Sunday. I've got a friend of mine who's got a giant wine cellar in his house, and I don't see him very much. I see him a few times a year, and bless his heart, he has a tendency to drink a whole lot, but he thinks he's a very righteous person, though he stays drunk. Now, guys, those two don't go together. I mean, how can salt water and fresh water flow from the same spring? When I asked him the other day whether or not he was taking his children to church yet, he told me that he felt he was one of the most godly people around. His family was the most godly families that is around, and that basically he basically taught them what they needed to know along with his wife without taking them to church. And I said, guys, I said, let me explain something to you. If you do all that and you don't take your children to church, you're not going to teach them to take their children to church. And if they marry somebody who doesn't know the Bible, then they're going to get that much further into the secular realm. Guys, that's not what Christianity is called to do. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. We have to have the unity of the believer. And one of the reasons we do that is because of praise and worship. When you have praise and worship, we all enter into the same frequency. You can feel the energy sometimes when you're in a really good praise and worship service, and that frequency helps to recharge you and regenerate your body. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. This isn't ooh we're talking about. This really happens. That's why we need to be praying together and singing together and praising together. Why do you think that when we get to heaven, there's going to be so much praising and singing, and we're all going to be in unity with God in heaven? So the reality is this. If we're going to be a Christian, let's be a Christian. Let's be the best Christian we can be. Let's avoid the trappings of the world that seem so obvious to so many, with the drunkenness and the debauchery and the weird things that people do. Let's avoid all of that, and let's say what we're going to do. Let's do what we say we're going to do and act how we say we're going to act, and not become hypocritical. That's really, really important. If you've got a problem with something, take your petition to God and say, God, please help me with this, because I need some help with this with my attitude, or I need to repent over this because this is something that I do or don't want to do, but I've got to get straight on what I want to believe about this. Guys, it's important. We can't run around being drunk. We can't run around taking drugs. We can't run around playing video games all day and not supporting our families. We can't do all the things that the world does and claim to be believers. We're supposed to be set apart. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, come ye out from among them. And that's something that God wants us to do and not be part of all that. What do you think about this, Sharon?
Well, Ted, you know, you at the beginning you were talking about Europe and overseas, and we have said before that a lot of the cathedrals and the old churches, they're turning them into mosques over there. And the thing is, you know, the Muslim religion, they're just trying to, you know, eventually take over, and we're seeing that happen in the United States. Mosques are going up. I mean, if you Google mosque in your area or mosque, you know, in your county, it'll blow you away. But we as Christians have got to realize there's another generation coming up, and the model that worked before in churches is not working anymore, because the generations that are older now, let's say 70s, 80s, and all that, that are going to be going to church every day, it's not that I don't want to use the word cater to, but if those churches are going to stay alive, the church has got to start catering to the youth, because if the youth isn't there, the church won't be there. And another way is that the youth are looking for something, you know, they may be looking for Jesus, but not in the way that we were raised. And we've got to have an open mind. For instance, with the praise and worship, don't go from church to church to church saying, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. If the pastor's preaching the Word of God, and if he's fairly awake, because I know a lot of these pastors, you know, have their heads in the sand, but if he's really awake, and the praise and worship may not be exactly what you like, you've got to weigh all that, especially if you have children. Your children need to see you in church every week, because you are the only example they have. And right now, I know there's a lot of satellite churches. Well, that's a model that's working right now. A lot of things are different. Don't go by what it was when you were growing up, or it was this way, so I don't like it, I'm not going to go to church anymore. Don't make excuses. Just find a church that you feel comfortable in. I was talking today to a friend of mine, and he was in church, and they were talking about voting for the election, and the pastor said, vote your conscience. He got up, walked out, and he'd been at that church for years, said, I'll never see this church again. He stood for what he knew was right, but he found another church that he'd gone to, you know, several times, and started going to that church. Because if you don't stand up for what you believe, then who are we? It doesn't make us any different. But also, we've got to realize that we've got to cater to the youth. We've got to make it so they want to come to church. Because the world is pulling so hard. Satan is pulling so hard with the media, with the internet, with everything. And the church has just got to say, okay, I'm sorry if you don't like this. I know 30 years ago this worked, 20 years ago this worked, even 10 years ago this worked, but we're going to have to make some changes. Don't get your feathers ruffled. Just say, hey, it's not all about me anymore. We've got to get our youth in church, and we've got to keep them in church, and we've got to have them say, oh, wow, I get to go to church today, not, oh, great, Mom and Dad are taking me again. So, you know, Ted, I just think it's the model. We've got to change with the times.
Well, that's a very, very good commentary, Sharon. You're absolutely right. The thing about it is that I'll be honest with you guys. You know, we do our own Bible studies. We have our own prayer time. And I don't go to church as much for myself any longer as I do for my children, because I'm very careful with what I speak and how I pray. And I'm always trying to be in communion with God, you know, 24 hours a day. So my whole life's kind of turned into a worship service, so to speak. But it doesn't matter. My children don't understand that yet because they haven't reached the age of concrete, rational thought. Harrison is 17. He'll be 18 in a few months. Alexis is 16 and Savannah's 14. So they need to see us in church with them, regardless of whether we don't want to go, whether we've got a headache, whether they've got a driver's license to take themselves. We need to be there. So it's really important, guys, that you understand that. And I'm not saying it because sometimes you're right. Sometimes on Sunday morning, you're just busy. It's just busy. And, you know, you got some stuff to do, or that's one of the only days off you had in a week. But, guys, this is going to go so fast with your children. It's going to go so fast. You can go play golf when your children go to college on Sunday morning every once in a while if you want to do that. You can go fishing when your kids go to college and they're not in the house anymore. But don't let them ever say, well, the reason I don't go to church is that my mom and dad didn't take me to church. Don't do that. Don't be that person. Because don't give them an excuse as to why they're not going. I mean, make them realize that if they choose not to go to church, after they leave your household, that's a choice they're making for themselves. Our children, they're so involved in the youth programs at our churches, at our church. We go to Satellite Baptist Church. We have the main sanctuary. It's about 10 miles away. That they actually look forward to going to church. They actually enjoy it. And that's part of their social outlet. And so they actually love going to church. Now, remember, we homeschool the kids, so it's part of what they do as far as from a social standpoint, too. But Harris is in his third year of university full time. I mean, he's 17, almost 18, and he's finishing his junior year in college. And he knows now, and he said to me the other day, he says, Dad, you know, you warned me when I started going to college, because it's a secular school, it's not a Christian school. You warned me what it was going to be like and the type of people that were going to be there. He says, you were absolutely right. He goes, there's all kinds of weirdos there. There's Christians. There's New Agers, there's atheists, there's gays, there's all these different groups. He started listing all the subcategories, and he goes, what we have to do is choose when we're young who we're going to associate with and who we want to be, you know, a part of. And he goes, and I've just chosen to stay with my Christian friends. And he goes, and it's worked out really well for us at school. See, that's the key. If you raise them the right way, that's why I really like the junior college or the local state universities like we're sending our kids to right now, which is like a 10-minute, 15-minute drive from the house, because it allows the kids to stay there for a few more years while they're in high school, associate with collegiate-quality children who want to be in college, and it teaches them how to navigate the maze of the educational system rather than letting them turn 18 years old and shipping them off to a secular school like Florida State University or University of Florida or University of Miami or you're the school that you went to. I mean, if you think that the school you went to 40 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago is still the same, it's not. It's been besieged by political correctness and nonsense. And so you've got to be really careful setting an innocent mind at 17 or 18 years old off to a major university, you really need to let them adapt and grow a little bit more in a more contained environment. I've got a good friend of mine. His daughter was 18 years old, honor student, took off to school, got involved with fraternity, got all messed up, flunked out. I mean, just ruined her life, ruined her life. I mean, I've seen it over and over and over again. The 18-year-old kids go off to the college, and they go wild. They simply have no restraints any longer. But when you allow them to go to the university or a local local community college for a couple of years, even while they're in high school, it gives them the ability to acclimate to that type of environment and start making the choices they can make and the reality of what happens when they make certain choices and do it without being gone and being able to go completely nuts. So anyhow, thank good commentary, Sharon. Here's another article. 13-year-old boy becomes paralyzed from the neck down after he receives the HPV Gardasil shot. These stories won't stop. They won't stop. Gardasil, the vaccine that supposedly protects youngsters against four types of human papillomavirus virus, or HPV, and the cervical cancer, which it can lead to. By the way, it doesn't do that. It doesn't work. Has come under intense scrutiny from the medical professionals around the world over the past few years. This is due to the fact that a number of cases, I mean, this is in thousands now, reporting severe adverse reactions to HPV vaccine have been surfacing more and more. The article goes on to say, we published multiple articles regarding adverse reactions to the HPV vaccine. Here's one about the mother of a vaccinated child who has decided to showcase her challenges to the public because he's 13 years old, totally paralyzed, on a respirator, cannot breathe, in a wheelchair, totally healthy before he took the HPV vaccine, and now they're trying to require it that for every child. Injuries including deaths, permanent neurological damage, disabling autoimmune and or inflammatory conditions have also shown been clearly described in scientific literature. And here's another article basically showing that this young man, 13 years old, has completely and totally had his life destroyed from a disease he probably never would have had, from a disease if he had gotten it, 90% of the times it clears up by itself, don't even know they have it, and yet here he is, completely and totally paralyzed. Gardasil contains more than double the amount of aluminum than it previously had. They're doubling down on it. Gardasil, like several other vaccines, contains aluminum. Health authority will tell you that by using aluminum as an adjuvant in vaccines, it's completely safe, but it is not. It is a total lie. It also causes Alzheimer's disease. What they won't tell you is that there are no safety assessment toxicity studies for vaccine ingredients. That means they can put whatever they want to put in there, and there's no studies, and they can't be held liable. This can be quite eye-opening for those who are not ready to be aware of this, especially considering the fact that aluminum has been added to vaccines for approximately 90 years. Yet the Food and Drug Administration, or any other government agency for that matter, has not conducted or included any approximate toxicity studies, testing, or proving the safety of aluminum. Why is this? One reason could be that vaccines have traditionally, over the years, been viewed as non-toxic substances, therefore not warning such research. What do you think about this, Sharon? A 13-year-old young boy, peak of his high school life, junior high school life, elementary, you know, middle school life, paralyzed, neck down on a respirator.
Ted, first of all, your heart just goes out to these parents because they wouldn't have done it if they knew it was really going to happen to them. But all of our listeners have got to realize that we've got an awesome responsibility on our shoulders to let other people know about this. If you know this information and you've learned what you've listened to on our show, it's important that you share with other people and we start getting this message out because this is their agenda. I mean, this is their plan. I mean, this is all planned. But, you know, it's interesting. You can go even a step further and go back to, let's say, when a couple gets married. Now, a lot of our listeners have children. A lot of our listeners have grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren. I don't know. But it's real important when you're praying with your children or grandchildren that you start praying for their spouses because it goes all the way back to that. You've got to have children that are going to be like-minded when they get married. We've seen so many conflicts and just children just ruined because the in-laws said they get involved in it, the parents get involved in it, the husband wants to do it, the wife doesn't, and I know Austin's talked about this before, but the thing is, you know, if your children aren't married yet, they're not really serious about anything, start praying for their spouses and be specific, because God likes you to be specific, because he likes answering your prayers. But be specific on who they're going to marry. I know we were praying the other day for the spouses of our children, and Ted said, Lord, give them a spouse that is not going to want to immunize. give them a spouse that wants to, that's interested in nutrition. I mean, it really, really works. And if you don't believe me, just try it. I mean, that's what faith is all about. But you've got to start where it all starts, back to where, before they're even married. They've got to be like-minded. You don't want to have them have to go to counseling because they're fighting over this new baby and they don't know what they're going to do because one's going to do it and one's not going to. What about the parents? What about the in-laws? We are so blessed that Lana and Austin, our in-laws, they are 100% behind us. They're down in Ecuador. They're like our Health Masters Ecuador office down there. They believe exactly what we believe, but that isn't always the case. We're super blessed, but you have to do your part as parents and pray for those children and pray for their spouses and believe God that they're going to marry the right person that's going to be in agreement with them, because it's a horror story. I mean, we have a friend just recently that his girlfriend got the Gardasil shot, and she's paralyzed on the right side. She was an avid ballet dancer. I mean, she was just really high up in the ballet, and it was her sport, and she loved it. And she can't do that anymore. And it ruins a family. I mean, it's so tragic. Another thing, I remember, Ted, when we had our clinic years ago, and you would do counseling, and, you know, pretty soon, I mean, after a while, you said, you know, I'm not a marriage counselor, because you had to just answer. You had to end up, you know, counseling people about this stuff. But we'd have parents that would get involved in their children that had gotten married, and they said, they're not going to give that child goat's milk. They're not going to immunize. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. And then there's big war going on. And who is the one that suffers? That poor child, Ted. It's sad, because we've seen it all.
I remember one lady, she had a raw goat's milk over, and this was, gosh, just 30 years ago, over in Lakeland. Super high quality goat's milk. I mean, we used it for years. Finally, she was supplying it for a lady who had a child, a baby. The mother-in-law found out and had the farm closed by the state of Florida. Had it closed. I mean, shut it down. And I mean, I'm like, you've got to be kidding. No, it really had. We saw it. Because, guys, listen to me. When a person isn't really awake, when they're really not aware of what's going on, and you try to talk to them about eating clean or not doing immunizations or whatever, if they've been completely brainwashed by mainstream dogma, what's going to happen is you're going to have an immediate pushback. And that's why it's so important that before you start dating someone, before you start getting serious about someone, before you get engaged to someone, make sure it happens before all of these things happen, and before you marry somebody, you need to sit down with a marriage counselor that you're doing, or premarital counseling, or whatever you want to do, and you need to bring a list of questions up, like, do you want to immunize? What do your parents feel about this? And everybody needs to be on the same page. I can't tell you how many horror stories that I have listened to and read about and known personally of people who did not want to immunize, end up getting someone pregnant who wants to immunize. They don't get married, but they have no recourse because the mother makes all the decisions, and they do whatever they want to do. I've seen it over and over and over. And I've also seen it with men who don't want to immunize, who marry a woman, and the woman goes behind their back to the pediatrician to get the shots. I had it happen to a dear friend of mine. Her children started coming down with autism. And I told him, I said, I'm going to call him Smokey. His name's not Smokey, but we'll call him Smokey. I said, Smokey, I said, are you immunizing the kids? Oh, absolutely not. I said, have you checked with your wife? Well, I know she doesn't immunize. I said, Smokey, why don't you check with your wife? Calls me back. I can't believe it, Ted. She's immunized all the kids with all the shots. Now they've got autism. I said, yeah, I figured that's what happened. She goes, I can't believe it. Yeah, but see, the communication has to be there. And finally, the young boy, he was so bad. I mean, he was doing horrible, but luckily he didn't get his final set of boosters and he was able to come out of it. He's not as bad as he was. But guys, listen to me. This is a big problem. If you don't have communication and you don't understand each other like that, you really need to talk about it. Are you going to immunize? How about this? Are you going to take vitamins? How about if you have a spouse who won't take supplements? How about if you have a spouse who's sick all the time because they won't take supplements? How about if you have a spouse who doesn't want to have sex with you anymore because they don't want to take supplements because they're sick all the time? I mean, you need to ask yourself these questions before you marry him. I had another young man come by here a few years ago, and his girl he was dating had a really bad problem with her intestinal tract and had been on medication for years and years and years with Crohn's disease and intestinal inflammation. We put her on some protocols to help get rid of that. She got rid of it. basically got married, stopped taking the product, and got sick again. I mean, after they got married. Guys, you got to get all of this stuff resolved before you get married. Because I can't tell you again how many people have called me up, I can't get my wife to take supplements. I can't get my husband to take supplements. You know, on and on and on. It never ends. By the way, there's another study that says that antidepressants are found to be depressingly ineffective. The use of antidepressants has been controversial for some time, and with good reasoning. They alter the brain's chemistry and it can yield unpredictable results, including suicide. Regardless, drug companies and the media have done an extraordinary job at marketing these products and forcing them into a market. Who hasn't heard of Prozac? If you haven't seen the recent commercials, then you can finish the sentence. Depression hurts. Cymbalta can. The use of antidepressants is very common. Between 2005 and 2008, the CDC estimated 11% of Americans aged 12 and older took antidepressants. I'm going to repeat that. 11% of the population, that's over 30 million people ages 12 and older took depressants. Over 60% of these people had taken antidepressants for 2 years or longer, and unfortunately, less than a third had seen a mental health professional in the last year. With such high consumption of antidepressants, you'd think depression would be solved like polio, right? Wrong. A recent United Kingdom meta-analysis of 47 clinical trials found that antidepressant drugs provide almost no benefit to people from taking them. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over and over again. There's natural things to help get rid of depression. There's just natural things that help to do that. So we found cod liver oil, activated B vitamins, 5-HTP, especially over the holidays if you start getting the quote-unquote holiday blues. There's all kinds of natural things that you can take on an ongoing basis to get tremendous results from depression with mild to moderate forms of depression. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. If you're taking some kind of drug right now, don't go run and get off of it, because some of these drugs have severe, severe side effects, especially the benzodiazepines. They're one of the worst ones you could take. You can actually have death as a side effect. So make sure that you don't just come off of it. You go back to your mental health professional. And what I would do is I would start taking the cod liver oil, the 5-HTP, the B vitamins, and all those supplements that we have listed in the Healthy Brain Chemistry Protocol on our website at healthmasters.com. Take them for about 30 days or so, and then go back to your doctor and say, look, doc, I want to try to titrate my dosing down on this. Can you help me with this? And let him help you coming off of the other drugs. Very important that you do that, because the thing is, guys, you don't want to be on these antidepressant medications for years on end. They really alter brain chemistry. They can do all kinds of horrible things, including making you commit suicide. And guys, be very careful with children, with adolescents, with 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids, 20-year-old kids, by putting them on these drugs. It has a black box warning on these drugs saying that they cause children to commit suicide. I saw it over and over again when I wrote my book, Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities back, gosh, 15 years ago. I did a bunch of research from the 90s on Columbine and a lot of the other shootings that had taken place in the United States. And we found that, like, every single child involved in these shootings were taking these types of drugs, along with other types of drugs, which are causing this bizarre behavior to manifest itself. I've seen people, I had a guy one time call me up just crying like a baby because his 17-year-old son, honor student, you know, like class president, had hung himself after he'd started on Prozac after 3 weeks. He'd gone in his room, found his son hanging from the ceiling fan. Guys, I've heard it. I've talked to the parents. I've seen it so many times, you know, and I've read about it more than that. It's not worth the drug. It's not worth what it does. There are too many natural approaches for adolescent problems as far as dealing with kids and sibling pressure, etc., without putting these kids on these horrible drugs that can make them kill themselves, guys. Super important that you consult a mental health practitioner and try to find a doctor in your area if you have a child that has that condition who's willing to work with you and your child without putting them on these types of drugs. Very, very important. What do you think, Sharon?
Well, also, with these children, we've got to clean up their diets, because the diet has so much to do with their attitudes, whether they're down or up, with the sugars and all the artificial, the millions of junk that they put in the foods now. So that may be causing whatever behavior they're exhibiting for them, somebody to think they can put them on a drug. But as parents, drugs have got to be the last resort, because you can change a child's behavior just by their diet and then add these supplements that we have. We've had tremendous results. And another thing is, menopause kind of mimics the same symptoms that we use for depression. It's part of it. And a lot of it's hormonal, and sugar affects your hormones. So diet is so important, and it's and getting the supplements. But you know, some people, Ted, they just rather take a pill because it's easier. They're so depressed that they get to that low level that they're very susceptible to taking any advice from anybody, and it's a solution. But we're trying to give you positive solutions here on the radio show. That's what we're all about. And
well,
it's your responsibility when you give you those solutions that you share them with others.
Well, that's true, Sharon, because the thing about it is, and I've told people this for so many times, you know, and old Zig Ziglar used to say it so succinctly. He used to say he knew an old Baptist preacher who said that every pot sits on its own bottom. Guys, if you're doing something you don't want to do, just stop it. If you're working somewhere you don't want to work, find another job. If you got horrible, horrible relationships with your wife or whatever, with your kids, go to counseling. Find a way to correct this type of behavior. Just do the best you can to fix it. Because, guys, this isn't a practice session. This isn't going around once here and, you know, whatever. This is the real deal. This is your life. And that's one of the reasons, Sharon, that so many people get so depressed, because they've made so many bad decisions on who they married or what career path they chose or what college they went to or didn't go to or what loan they took out they can't pay or all of these different things. It really affects them. Now, well, here's what you don't want to have happen. I remember years ago I had a lady call me up, and her husband had to undergo bypass surgery. And it was $250,000 just for the surgery. I think he had a quadruple bypass. And she called me up, and gosh, this is over 20 years ago. Now I'm sure it's much more expensive than that. And she called me up and she said, I want to order all of your CD sets. I want to order all of your books, everything, all your home study classes, everything. And it was, the price then probably was, what, $400 or $500. And I told her, I said, well, it's going to be like, you know, $500. She goes, that's fine. And I said, are you okay with that? She goes, yeah. She goes, this is cheap. We just had to spend $250,000 for the surgery. This isn't happening again. We're going to change our diets and change our lifestyle. She says, I wish we'd have gotten your stuff and your material first. See, and I always tell people this, and I'm going to say this again to you, this is very important. I would say to people at the seminars, we had like a program called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. I think we have a few of those left and a bunch of other CD sets at the office and DVD series. And I would say to people, it's like $100 for the set. And I would say, you know, you'll go out and spend $100 on a pair of tennis shoes. You'll go out and spend $100 on a meal. You'll go out and spend $100 on a set of theater tickets. You do all of these things, or you'll go out and eat, you know, out every day for $10 or $15 or $20, and after 4 or 5 meals, you're out $100 anyhow. I said, if you're willing to spend this on all this other stuff, why do you say that $100 CD set is too expensive? But it can change your life. It can literally change everything that you're involved in as far as your health. See, health comes as standard equipment when you get born for most people, if there was proper prenatal nutrition and there wasn't any genetic damage. So you have a situation in which you're born relatively healthy in most cases, but then we proceed to destroy the health, first through the immunizations, secondly through formula, next through giving these children meat to eat when they're way too young to eat the meat, causing all types of allergies and all these immunizations, and the person gets sicker and sicker and sicker. So then if the person does reach adulthood and they're capable of actually working, then at that point in time, they're trying to get their health back. Same thing happens with people who are 40 or 50 or 60 years old who've neglected their health their entire adult life, and now suddenly they want their health back, and they're willing to spend everything they have to get their health back in most cases. I know we had a guy last year contact us from Africa. He had cancer, and he wanted to work with some cancer patients or cancer doctors over in the United States. And so I gave him the guy's a billionaire. I'm not exaggerating. He wasn't a millionaire. He was a billionaire. And he wanted to work with some natural cancer treatment protocols here in the United States. And I gave him a list of names to do this. And one of the guys wanted like $5,000, $10,000, I think it was, for like a 3 or 4 month supply of stuff. And the guy said, no, I'm not going to do it. And it's too much money. And I laughed, and I said, it's too much money? I said, you're a billionaire. And he says, well, it's just too much money. I said, okay. And 4 or 5 months later, he was dead. See, I mean, so the question is this. How much is too much? I mean, what are you willing to do to stay healthy? And this, what's better than that is, how about, let's say we eat organic. Let's say we don't eat GMO foods. Let's say we take our supplements every day. That's the key. If you just do what you're supposed to do on an ongoing basis before you get sick, then you stay healthy anyhow. I know last night I went to bed, my throat was a little bit sore. I thought, nah, I'm not going to do this. So I took some extra astragalus last night when I went to bed, woke up this morning. No, I have no sore throat anymore. I thought, okay, that's okay. That works good. Because guys, if you just do a little bit at a time, it's amazing what happens. And you can pray about it, because prayer answers things. If you have an attitude about this or your spouse has an attitude about it, you can pray about it and hopefully get it to change. I know I had a friend of mine. He's a pilot, good friend. He called me up the other day, and he's kind of down over the holidays because he's divorced and he doesn't have a girlfriend. And I told him, I said, well, you need to pray about what kind of girlfriend you want. And he goes, well, I don't know. What do you mean? I said, you need to tell God what you want. God wants, like Sharon said earlier, wants specifics. I mean, how old do you want her to be? I mean, what do you want her to believe? Everything else. And he goes, oh, okay. And so I said, I'll say a little prayer for you. And all of a sudden, one of his old girlfriends that he really liked calls him up like a week later. He calls me up. He goes, man, dude, this really works. This prayer really works. I said, yeah, prayer works. It always works. Guys, listen to me. Prayer changes the fabric of space-time. It changes everything. It's a scalar wave. So believe what you want to believe, pray like you want to believe it, and continue to talk to your spouse and give them information. Now, if you are married to somebody who's diametrically opposed to eating healthy and they want to live on Twinkies and Ding Dongs and cupcakes, that's their choice. But you can continue to give them literature and stuff. And chances are, I hate to say this, you're probably going to outlive them anyhow because they're not going to stay around long eating like that, especially with how bad the quality of the food is now. So anyhow, so there you go. So by the way, another article. The U.S. has interfered in at least 81 presidential elections in other countries in the past 54 years. This is what's so ironic to me with what they were doing to Putin, who had absolutely nothing to do with our election. I mean, was Putin filling 30 and 40,000 people up in arenas for Trump? Hillary Clinton couldn't fill up a stinking phone booth. Trump was filling up arenas. I mean, it's ridiculous, Sharon. And so people want to say, well, he hacked the – he didn't hack the elections. He had nothing to do with it. WikiLeaks released a bunch of stuff that went into alternative media and mainstream media, the ones that they picked it up, like Fox, and told the truth about the Democratic Party and what they were doing and how unbelievably corrupt they are. And so what happened is we ended up getting Donald Trump as president. That combined with our prayers and the fact that God exposed her like he did, it just – shows us that we're still in charge and prayer still changes things. The 54 years they've done 81 times. The U.S. was found to have interfered in foreign elections at least 81 times between 1946 and 2000, not counting U.S.-backed military coups or CIA regime change efforts. This is just elections. This isn't sending troops in. Ever since Donald Trump managed to win the U.S. presidential election last month, the U.S. establishment, which largely backed Hillary Clinton, largely like 99%, has pounced on any and all opportunities to accuse foreign power, namely Russia, of having interfered to the U.S. election. Though such accusations have not been proven and are based solely on speculation, there are no hard evidence. That hasn't stopped the U.S. political elite from crying foul for the act. They say undermines democracy in the worst way possible. Yet absent from all of this post-election hysteria is not any mention of the U.S.'s own well-documented practice of interfering with the elections of numerous foreign nations under the pretext of protecting or furthering U.S. interests abroad. Don Levine, a political scientist at Carnegie Mellon University, amassed a database of U.S. election interfered abroad, which shows just how common the practice has been throughout the U.S. history. According to Levine's work, the U.S. has interfered with 81 foreign elections. However, these incidents do not include those that have taken place in the last 16 years. Under Bush, election intervention was a common policy practiced jointly through regime change, as evidenced by Bush's covert intervention in the Iraqi elections of 2005. I mean, guys, it's so funny. We're calling, we're trying to chase the fox out of the hen house here, but we are the hen house. We're the ones that are doing all of this stuff. We're the ones that's going in and throwing. Look at Operation Gladio and Operation Condor. I mean, unbelievable what we did with regime change in South America and what we did with fostering terrorist activities and basically false flags in Europe against fighting communism. I mean, the United States was involved in all of that mess, and that's all become public now with the CIA, with the Freedom of Information Act. Read the book Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia, and you get a full crawl with that was all about in both countries and both sets of both Condor and Operation Gladio. So guys, it's one of those things. I just find it humorous, Sharon. They're sitting there saying all that kind of stuff. It's absolutely crazy. Crazy, Sharon. What do you think about all this?
Well, you know, Ted, I'm just glad that we're getting some, new administration. We're cleaning house, and now we've got a Christian, it's going to be head of the CIA, supposedly. I think we're going to see some changes in that. But it all boils down to we've all prayed as a nation, and we can't quit praying. We've got to continue praying. And the most important thing we can pray is that it keeps being exposed. Every day I pray, expose the evil, expose the evil. And then you pray for Trump and you pray for his administration. I know the other day I was really heavily praying for his appointments, give him godly appointments. And all of a sudden, whoa, here's CIA, here's this, here's that. And it's working. But we all have the power of prayer. and it's so strong when we all come together and pray in unity over our country, for our president, and all this stuff is just, you know, God's going to take care of it.
Well, it's just so nice that we've got a new year coming up. If, you know, if people are spending a lot of money on Christmas again this year, seems like spending's up. And one person emailed me today and told me that it's probably because it's like $400 per child, that it's probably because we have a hope and a future. You know, contrary to Michelle Obama, contrary to all that, it's one of those deals that, you know, we basically have a hope in the future now that we've got this Kenyan gay Muslim guy out of the White House. I mean, this whole thing with the sheriff now out there west, you're exposing his birth certificate, is complete and total hoax. We all knew that it was. I told you guys, oh gosh, on Hagman months ago, you know, when Trump came out, and I said it on my show, when Trump came out and said that he didn't believe the birth certificate was false, I said he's doing that for political maneuvering. I said he believes every bit that thing's false. He knows it's false. He's the one who called it out nationwide. That birth certificate that Obama gave us two or three years ago is a complete and total fraudulent piece of paper, completely and totally bogus. And I personally hope that Trump goes after that when he gets to the White House, but I don't think he will. I think he's got bigger fish to fry, and he can pretty much undo all of Obama's executive orders, you know, with a stroke of a pen. I hope he does that immediately when he comes into office. By the way, a new study has now realized that Tylenol has been used for a painkiller for decades, but new research reveals that it has a psychiatric effect, including dulled emotional responses to both negative and positive stimuli. In other words, it makes you dull and basically lethargic, and it also makes you kind of like a slave, like kind of like fluoride does. You know, kind of makes you just kind of lethargic and not thinking much about emotion. The public is beginning to understand that many of the over-the-counter painkillers do more than just kill pain. They sometimes kill those taking them. For instance, a 2013 review of 754 clinical trials published in Lancet found that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory use was associated with roughly double the heart failure risk. Ibuprofen, in particular, has been estimated to cause thousands to die of cardiovascular disease every single year. And according to the lead researcher of the Lancet's review, equally as dangerous are long-term users of the drug Vioxx, which was estimated to have caused 30,000 heart attacks and cardiac arrests between 1999 and 2003. Popular over-the-counter painkillers such as Tylenol, ibuprofen, naproxen, Aleve, aspirin, and many of them, like, people pop them like candy to reduce pain and inflammation without ever looking to identify and resolve the root causes of the symptoms. Now in a new study, it finds that not only does Tylenol affect the body, but it also affects the brain and dulls the emotional responses of users of well. Now remember, Tylenol is one of the primary causes of liver failure in the United States. If you go out and get drunk one night, which I hope that my listeners don't do that, the next morning you pop three or four extra strength Tylenol, there's a good possibility you're going to need a liver transplant within a couple of weeks. You're going to destroy your liver. It's that poisonous. And even if you take it consistently on an ongoing basis, it can destroy your liver. I mean, thousands and thousands of people are looking at this now and dying from this, considering it took the FDA 32 years after its own expert panel told the agency that in 77 that was obligatory to put on the warning label of Tylenol that it caused severe liver damage. It took the FDA 32 years. For any information on the studies of Tylenol, read the recent ProPublica expose titled "Use Only as Directed," a review Tylenol and NACID databases, and you'll see how poisonous this stuff is. Guys, listen to me for a second. If you're taking Tylenol, don't. Get that stuff out of your house. Aspirin and ibuprofen are bad enough. They're horrible, okay? But don't take Tylenol. Never take Tylenol. If you're using BC powders, don't take BC powder. If you're using the BC arthritic powders, don't take those. They contain Tylenol and aspirin and caffeine. Very, very unhealthy things to take. They'll actually eat holes in your guts and massively increase your risk of liver damage and heart disease with these different types of products. What do you think about this, Sharon?
Well, we got to go to the root of it, and most of the reason people are taking this is because they have a problem with inflammation. Inflammation is going to cause pain, so you've got to get rid of the inflammation, and we've got a whole protocol for that. It also your diet. Things that you eat cause inflammation. Things that you eat can lower inflammation. So, again, you've got to go back to the basics, back to the raw material, and try that first. Don't just start popping pills, you know, and we want an instant fix. I mean, Ted's been in pain, I've been in pain. We've dealt with it. You know, we know how to work through it. And I know the magnesium salts have been a tremendous result in that. I don't know what your reason for taking the stuff is, but again, it's an inflammation thing, and we've got to, you know, just realize that's where it comes from.
Well, I know with the magnesium, I remember you were having a severe problem with spinal stenosis. And we had a friend of ours who had used the magnesium and had complete amelioration of the spinal stenosis because magnesium helps to dissolve calcium spurs. And, I mean, you were having some real problems with it, Sharon. I mean, it was horrible. You had to sleep on your back only, couldn't get on your sides. And finally, after like 2 or 3 months of being on the magnesium product, I mean, all this stuff was gone. And I saw what it did to you, so I started, you know, soaking my feet in it every day and using the oils. And I quickly found that I was able to sleep on my left shoulder again, which had had a bone spur on it for years. And basically, I got rid of that. And my hips weren't hurting anymore when I slept on my left side. So it was really a godsend for me, too, as far as just sleeping at night. So, yeah, it made a huge difference with me. And so I soaked my feet 20 minutes a day in the magnesium bath salts, because magnesium chloride works a lot better if you apply it topically. If you soak your feet in it, it soaks and goes right into your skin, and it doesn't have a diarrhea effect like normal magnesium would have if you do that. By the way, if you want to support us, I'd really appreciate it if you could. Go to healthmasters.com. You can get your multiple vitamins from us. That'd be great. They're like $25. If you don't want to, if you can pray for us, we'd appreciate that too. But we have like the highest quality supplements in the world at healthmasters.com. I want to thank you guys, all of you guys, for supporting the radio show, helping us stay on the air, helping support, you know, what we're doing as far as trying to get this health information out and the world news out in a way that most people don't talk about it from a Christianity perspective. And so I want you guys to know that we love you and we appreciate you, and we really want you to know that we just are really blessed to have you guys as our friends, as our partners, and it means so much to you, to us, that you're here with us and that we're all part of this team together. By the way, the Bundesbank in Germany is now hauling its gold back from New York and Paris faster than planned. So guys, even the world's superpower like Germany, and one of the world's economic powers, is wanting their gold back from the Rothschild-controlled banking cartel in New York, and they're getting it quicker than they had thought they were going to get it. Guys, I love you guys. I appreciate you. Sharon, thanks again for being my co-host today, and we'll be here live again tomorrow. Thanks again for your support. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
God bless you guys.